What is up, everybody? Dr. Joe Armstrong here, and I am super excited to tell you that we have a sponsor, and that sponsor is Medgene. It's a new day in animal healthcare, and Medgene is wide awake. Medgene is the first USDA-licensed producer of prescription platform vaccines. Medgene's prescription platform vaccines help veterinarians in the swine, cattle, deer, and rabbit industries respond faster and more efficiently. Learn more about Medgene's prescription platform vaccines at MedgeneLabs.com. That's MedgeneLabs.com. Or better yet, follow Medgene on Facebook and LinkedIn. Medgene, it's a new day in animal healthcare.
Welcome, everybody, to the Moose Room. Emily and Brad here, the tag team dream team.
We are back finally again.
We are back again. And Brad and I are both a little squirrely because this is our third time attempting to record this episode. We keep running into technical difficulties. So hopefully this is it this time.
I hope so. We always have lots of fun in store.
Yes, you know, but this is also always what happens when Joe is not here. We just keep running into issues and having to keep try again. So hopefully third time's the charm. And we're going to dive into it here. So this is, I think it's kind of become a tradition on the Moose Room that around this time of year, Brad and I always do an episode about the Minnesota State Fair.
I think the State Fair runs in our blood. It's one of those things that you look forward to every year, even though afterwards you get done with it. You're like, oh, I'm glad it's over. But then yeah, it happens all over again.
Brad and I mean, the 4-H Dairy Project is how Brad and I met. And so I think for both of us, we just have a lot of passion for working with those 4-H'ers on the dairy stuff and everything else that entails. You know, the State Fair, I always say, like, it's kind of my Super Bowl, right? It's my Christmas. Farm Fest and State Fair. And they happen in the same month. So lucky me.
Exactly. And I've been working on State Fair stuff here for the last week now. So it's just because the State Fair hasn't started yet doesn't mean that those of us don't participate early and try and figure things out. So it's a lot of, I shouldn't say there's a lot of work, but I enjoy it. I enjoy working with the 4-H program, with the State Fair, and putting together all the things that I do.
Right. It's a lot of work, but it's always worth it because we get to work with really awesome kids and colleagues and friends to make, you know, specifically the show happen. And, you know, I have very fond memories of showing at the State Fair in my youth. And Bradley, I know you do too.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. The State Fair was one of those things. I enjoyed it a lot, showing my jerseys at the State Fair. So, yeah, it's been good.
All right. So let's take a brief walk down memory lane, Bradley. Is there a specific State Fair show you remember the most, like one that you did really well in, or just what's a show that kind of sticks out to you?
Well, actually, it was, no, not really. When you have colored breeds, you're always, we forget, long time ago, actually, a lot of the colored breeds were split in the State Fair. There was registered and there was grades. So I can't remember. It's probably been 15 plus years, maybe more, since we combined the registered and the grades for the colored breeds. So you had all these shows going on, and I never had top show jerseys. You never did that well. I never did that well. It was always, I was bringing up the rear. Although in open class one time, I was not on the bottom, so I was excited.
All right. Love that. You know, it's character building.
It is, but it was all homebred stuff. You know, it was animals that I had homebred and so it was, you know, I had some sort of pride that way, which I still think homebred animals have lots of pride to them, but we don't see that a lot. You know, the 4-H program has changed a lot too. There's a lot more lease kids, you know, almost 60% of the 4-H dairy animals are leased, which most people might not think of it. So you have 200 plus animals that are leased from other farms there. And that was not the case back when I was in 4-H. Very few were leased.
And I think we've said it before when we do this episode, but huge shout out to all of the farms that lease animals through the 4-H Dairy Lease Program. You know, it gives kids access that they wouldn't otherwise have. And a lot of the farms I know that lease, I mean, they're leasing to multiple kids, right? They have 8, 9, 10 head of animals going to the fair with different kids, and gives them the opportunity to get that experience and stay connected to dairy and experience the project. So, you know, we're very indebted to the farms that are willing to share their animals and their knowledge in this way with the youth, because yeah, like you said, 60%, you know, over half of our program is leased animals, and that's not possible without the farms that do the leasing. So shout out to all of them. We appreciate you.
Now here's your little, you can think Brad is crazy moment. So
I think that anyways, but go on.
Right. Exactly. I am the Jersey guy, but two of my kids are showing at the state fair this year, and they are not showing jerseys.
Not love it. It's a beautiful twist of fate.
Exactly. One has a brown Swiss winter calf. Here's your little backstory in that. I bought her online. You know, this is what happens when you leave Brad alone on a Saturday afternoon. I just buy animals online and then go, oh, crap, I better go drive and get this thing. A nice little show pedigree. Grandma and great grandma were World Dairy Expo champions. I don't know how I picked this one up, but I did. So a nice little brown Swiss calf, and my son is showing a Guernsey. So there's, I think, 11 or 12 Guernseys in the whole Minnesota State Fair 4-H show now, and he will be one of them. Actually, a nice fall calf has got some type and some genetics behind her. So the best of both worlds, but it's like I got stabbed in the heart and...
No jerseys, Dad. No, exactly. We're taking these instead.
No jerseys. No, but we did have some jerseys at our county fair. My kids showed their jerseys at the county fair, but the brown Swiss and the Guernsey won out and did much better. So my life has changed forever.
Well, and you know, there's my favorite breed show at the state fair to watch in the 4-H Dairy Show. You know what it is, Brad?
Milking Shorthorn.
No.
No? Ayrshire?
Crossbreeds.
Oh.
So crossbreeds. That's a unique part about our 4-H program that I've always really loved, is that we do have a crossbreed division. Minnesota was kind of at the forefront with a lot of Bradley's work and Dr. Les Hansen's work on, you know, making crossbreeds more popular in commercial herds. And, you know, a lot of these show animals are coming out of commercial herds. You know, even the leased animals are. And so I love that we have a crossbreed category. It just provides a little more access. And for me, it is the most fun, right? Because any crossbreed goes in that ring. So you'll have, you know, smaller Jersey Guernsey crosses and big, huge Holstein Brown Swiss crosses all shown together. And so I always tip my hat to the judge for those as well, because you're really looking at very different compositions and stacking them up against each other. But My phrase is always crossbreds have more fun, and the crossbred ring is always a fun time.
It is. I think last year, wasn't there a lineback in the show too? You know, we don't see many linebacks in the Midwest.
Yeah. Each year there's usually at least one or two, and those are my favorite. I just love that color pattern. It's so unique. So yeah, linebackers and...
Although the champion cow, I don't know if it was last year or the year before, was Holstein and Charlet Cross. Mm-hmm. And man, she was a good cow. Like, she milked a lot and she looked like a dairy cow. But
yeah, she had, I think, a quarter Charlet.
Quarter Charlet.
And she was Holstein, and there was, I think, Swiss in there too. Yep. So she was like big, full bodied cow, just not a cow you would see were it a single purebred animal. So
exactly.
Yes, I have a very soft spot for crossbreds. You know, Bradley, we were talking before we started recording just of like, all the cool things about the fair and about the dairy show in particular. And I already mentioned, you know, we get to work with the kids, right? 4-H is a youth development program, and youth development can do a lot of things. And you maybe don't think right away of like, well, a livestock project, you know, is going to help youth develop skills. You know, but it does. And it's really fun that now, you know what, I've been working at this show over 10 years. And so, you get to see some of the same kids year after year, you know, before they graduate out, and you get to see that growth and them learning more about getting better at fitting and learning more about their animal and just all of these different things. You know, I really like working with the kids. And again, Bradley and I are both products of this project, and I think it helped us gain some skills in life.
Yes, no doubt about it. I think a lot of the where I am today is probably because of the 4-H dairy program. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Even though I started way back in Wabasha County, shout out Southeast Minnesota.
Woo.
Showing my jerseys there, and you know, it just kept growing, and went to college for dairy and have been in dairy. And then when I was a grad student, you know, my advisors, Les Hansen, Tony Sikora, did a lot of 4-H stuff. So I got involved with that and then just kept going. And today I carry on a lot of those things that we have done a long time ago. So I think, you know, that sort of has the true testament that 4-H does help with career opportunities and builds the whole person and character for a lifetime. So no, there is no doubt without 4-H, things would have probably been very different.
Oh yeah, totally. Like you just, like the big things that stick out to me, right? You learn teamwork, you learn humility, how to be humble in times and how to take the big wins with grace and also take the big losses with grace as well. You know, I kind of liked your story at the beginning, Bradley, where you said like, you maybe weren't ever at the top of the class when you showed at the state fair, but you know, you still had fun. You still enjoyed it. You still wanted to go back and do it again, you know, the next year. And right, there's just this magic that I don't think I can describe of just what you get out of that experience, you know, and it's a unique experience. It's also kind of unique in Minnesota. Our state fair is so popular for 4-H livestock exhibitors that kids are allowed a single entry only. You know, but that also allows the most kids to come. You know, each year we have over 400 entries in the dairy show. And then, yeah, think about that multiplied across species, right? That's so many kids that get to come and experience this and see the state fair and learn about those things, teamwork and humility and hard work and time management and all of that. It's cool to see. Like, you don't think about it when you're in it, but, you know, now that we're all old and wizened, Bradley, you know, I think there's just, I love to walk through the dairy barn the morning right before the show. There's just this magic in the air. I don't know how to describe it. And I'm hoping those of you listening that have been, or perhaps are former state fair exhibitors, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. And I think I was thinking about that the other day because I was watching some videos or something online about state fairs, and Minnesota is very unique with 4-H, you know. Other state fairs aren't like that. If you want to go, you know, I judged the North Dakota State 4-H show 15 years ago, and there was like 50 head in the whole state show, and people just brought whatever they wanted. You know, some kids had 3-4 animals. So Wisconsin is actually the same way. Wisconsin State Fair, if you want to go, you just bring animals. There's no winning trips to the state fair. So Minnesota is very unique in that matter. I was talking to the guy that I was setting up the shake machine at our county fair, and he told me there's no county fairs in South Dakota. County fairs aren't in South Dakota. So Minnesota is very, yeah, no, this is what he told me. I don't know, but it's very unique. I think Minnesota is unique. Iowa, Wisconsin, the upper Midwest here is very unique in those ways. And we're all different too. But so we have a good thing going here in Minnesota, and it's very steeped in tradition.
Yes. Yes. And that's something I hear a lot from the judges that come to our show. You know, of course we rotate judges, but we'll get some back a few times. And a lot of them say this is one of their favorite shows just because the energy around it. And this is kind of tooting our own horn, but the outstanding show volunteers, of which Bradley and I are two of them. It's really exciting, and it's fun that we get to fill that Coliseum up with all those dairy animals each year on the first Saturday.
Yeah, I look forward to it. You know, and as we were talking before we started recording, there's, I don't know what people call it, the state fair crud. It's just all of the dust in the cattle barns. And you, it's like after you get back from the state fair, you just feel, by lack of sleep, all of the dust from all of the straw in the dairy barn, and it it's a good thing. Not that I'm complaining. I've dealt with it many years, and but it's like you said, it's just one of those things. You walk into the cattle barn the first time when the state fair, and it's like, wow, home.
Home, yes. Yes. And yeah, the state fair crud, we all get it. So in what, a week or two when we're on the podcast and we all sound congested, you'll know that that's what it is. And I would say for our listeners, I think we do have a lot of folks in Minnesota that listen. We hope to see you at the fair. And if you are out of state or in state and have never been, you know, come join us. One other thing that I wanted to talk about that I think also makes specifically our dairy show unique, and we've maybe discussed it before, and it's a part of the show that Brad and I work with the most heavily. And Brad, I kind of runs this part single-handedly. And that's the total merit contest. So, you know, when we think of cattle shows, we often think of type, right? It's just about what the animal looks like, you know, feet and legs and strength and dairy character and all that. And that's important, right? But like we talked about, a lot of our animals do come out of commercial milking herds, right? So they're maybe not raised to be perfect type show animals, right? How I've always said it is, you know, we value animals that look good in the show ring and also get their job done in the barn. And I think total merit's a really great combination of those two aspects. So Bradley, I'll let you describe it.
Well, a long time ago, I think when I was a grad student, we started this, and it's very unique. Some people like it, some people don't, but it is what it is. But we try to recognize the high genetic merit animals in the state fairs. So if we have a type show, and then we also have a sort of total merit show. So I have calculated the genetic value for all of the animals in the state fair 4-H show. So this year there's 422 of them. So I've gone through 422 animals and looked up all of the genetic information, which you can find publicly on the Council on Dairy Cattle Breeding website, and calculated the genetic merit. So you have to do well in the type show as well to be recognized. So it's not just we're giving last place animals the genetic award. So you have to have a combination of type and genetics to sort of win this award. And it's become good. You know, a lot of people bring animals to the state fair now that have good genetics. I think that's one thing that they try to show is that, yeah, we're not breeding for high type, high show ring type, but we got good functional animals that have high genetics. And I think over the time that we've been doing this, I have seen the genetics improve at the state fair 4-H show. And there's some pretty high ones this year, like really high ones. And so it'll be interesting to see. You know, I just see the genetic value. I don't know what these heifers look like when they get there. So we'll see. There's always one breed that just, in my view, I'll probably get in trouble for saying this, just hasn't figured out genetics yet. And that's the Jersey breed.
Oh, that's not the breed I thought you were going to say.
No, a lot of the Jersey animals that show in the state fair are heavy negative numbers. You know, they're a lot of the Jersey animals are show ring type, and they come with some are very minus 1,000 or more. And that's not what I grew up with. You know, my daughter showed a Jersey 2-year-old cow at the county fair, and she was plus 800, didn't win the show. But she got the genetic award. There are some other breeds that are good, and lots of them are positive for genetics. But I don't know, the Jerseys, it's very different between genetics, high genetic value, and show ring type. So I'll be critical of my own breed.
Yeah, you know, but it's a cool program. And right. And some people know this, and it's part of the reason I like to work with the program. I had the total merit champion grade Holstein heifer back in 08, 09, somewhere in there, right? and I'm a kid, right? Again, all of our animals just came right out of our milking herd. So they were commercial animals, not show animals. And that was, for me, like my only opportunity to win grand champion at the state fair was via the total merit program, you know? And so there's a lot of value in that too, because then it got me way more interested in the genetic decisions we were making on our farm. And I learned more about, you know, sire selection for total merit and, you know, for people that follow the merit numbers, blast from the past. This heifer I'm talking about, her name was Emerald. Her sire was Freddie. So if you remember Freddie.
Yes.
He was a very high net merit bull back in the 2010s. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and so, right, and that's what got me interested in this program, and that, yeah, it also just gives kids an opportunity to also think about their animals in a different way. It's not just about looking good. It's also about, you know, the breeding decisions we're making at the very beginning of the process too. So that's just, I'm very fond of the program, you know, because it yes, lets us think about animals in a different way.
Yeah. And, you know, I think about a lot of the good programs that we started. We also have the 4-H Dairy Showcase in Minnesota. So that's a program that was started, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, maybe. I don't want to talk about, you know, the general livestock people have a livestock auction, you know, where you buy the premiums and all of that. And a lot of our counties have livestock auctions. So I'm very, very in favor of those. But the dairy people wanted to sort of be able to recognize the animal as well as the youth that are participating in the program and what have they done in the dairy program. So we get lots of donations. I think this year they're well above $75,000 in donations for 4-H youth. They have to fill out a leadership profile. So, you know, what have you done in the dairy world? There was also some questions on there about H5N1 and what they thought about that, as well as what are some of the common questions that you hear at the state fair from the public and how do you respond to those? So you have to sort of take some time to fill this out, and you also have to have a good show animal. So you get points for a lot of different things, dairy judging, dairy quiz bowl. You know, if your animal does well and you get production awards and net merit awards and type awards, you do well as in the 4-H showcase. But they recognize, I believe it's 25 youth plus 10 rising stars. So 35 4-H youth out of, you know, 422. Mm-hmm. At the state fair with cash awards. And I think, I don't even know what the top one is anymore. Is it 3,000, 4,000?
I think something? It's 4,000. Yeah. And yeah, you know, and that's great because that's a check that goes right to the youth. And I would say, I think all of them, you know, they invest it either back into their project. I know some of the older students will use it to help pay for post-secondary education, you know, so it's a great way to really reward these kids for their hard work and, you know, let them showcase not just their outstanding animals, but the outstanding kids as well. And that's kind of what makes it unique to other programs.
Yeah. So we have lots of good things to recognize, not only cattle, but youth in the dairy program in Minnesota. So we're very unique and I would say forward thinking and trying to do that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So again, more shout outs. Huge shout out to all of our 4-H staff and our 4-H livestock staff, particularly, and all the other extension staff that helps, all the volunteers, all the families and farms that lease, and all the youth that come and do it, because it's also an attraction of the fair. You know, the public gets to walk into the Coliseum and see all those kids in the show ring, and you know, it's a good thing for everybody, for the industry, the community, the kids, the public. It's a unique opportunity that is fun to support and fun to see kids take advantage of. Any closing thoughts, Bradley?
The 4-H dairy program, I think those of us that were in it are will tell you it sort of has changed our life, and we are what we are, and we are in our careers because of it.
This has just been a good, like, nostalgic, warm fuzzies type of episode.
Exactly. And sometimes we need those, you know?
We do.
And all of the craziness of all of our lives, sometimes we just need to reminisce. And there's a lot of good things out there, too.
All right. Well, I think we'll wrap it there. You know, hopefully Bradley and I have convinced you to check out the Minnesota State Fair. Maybe you're a yearly visitor, or maybe you've never been, but we would love to see you out there at the fair this year. You can learn more about the fair at mnstatefair.org. You can learn more about 4-H and Extension and all the work we do here at the Booze Room and beyond at extension.umn.edu. If you have questions, comments, or scathing rebuttals about today's episode, you can email those to themoozeroom@umn.edu. Finally, we'd love to connect with you on social media. You can find us on Twitter at UMN Moozeroom and at UMN Farm Safety. And of course, you can find Bradley on Instagram at UMNWCROC Dairy. That's a wrap, and we hope to see you at the fair. Bye.
Bye.